Today on the podcast, we're talking with Meredith, and our theme today is to squat or not to squat. That is the question. Are you ready to do this, Meredith?
I'm ready.
All right, great. We'll see you guys on the inside. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the Senior Fitness Podcast with Meredith. We've got a great, fun topic we're talking about today. Whether you consider squats fun, maybe yes, maybe no, but we're going to talk about it anyway. To squat or not to squat? That is the question. But before we jump into that, we just want to send out a friendly reminder to visit our website, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com. And while you're there, check out all of our latest and greatest content, including our weekly growing library of exercise videos, free for you out there, as well as these podcasts and an opportunity to sign up for our newsletter, which we send out once a week, and in it, all of our latest and greatest stuff. So thanks for checking that out when you get a chance. So this week, we're talking about squatting. And, you know, depending on what kind of relationship you have with squats, if you live an active lifestyle or if you have ever had to get down and pick anything up from the floor and not use your back, you're squatting. So Meredith, with squats, you know, what in your personal experience, what is a squat? Actually, let's talk about that. What exactly is a squat and how do you know you're doing one?
Right. I would say the easiest way to say what a squat is, think about if you're sitting in a chair and I say stand up and then sit back down. That movement that you're getting from your hips and your knee joints and your ankle joints, that is basically a squat. So standing up and sitting back down. That's basically what a squat is. You can go deeper than that, of course, sitting position, that 90 degrees with the knees. But that's kind of the easiest way for someone to visualize and go, oh, that's how you do a squat, is getting up from a chair, sitting back down into the chair, and back up.
Which we do pretty much every day.
Well, exactly. Right? That's why this is such an interesting topic that we'll hopefully get to. I know we always only have a certain amount of time, and I want to go in so many different directions. But wherever this leads us, it's an important thing for us to discuss because we get a lot, I get a lot of questions, emails, comments, etc., plans that we do, those 7-day custom workout plans, with people saying, I can't squat. I cannot squat. I have bad knees. I can't squat. But we get up out of chairs all the time. We squat down to pick up things off the ground. We get up out of our car. we sit down on a toilet and stand back up, most of us, every single day. We're doing squats all day for the most part. So,
yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it. I think when people think squats, you know, they think something else when instead of he's getting in a chair.
Right. We just think of the exercise in the gym or in, you know, doing it in your home, maybe holding on to dumbbells or something like that, a squat rack, and we're squatting and then we have to press that weight back up. And that's, in theory, exactly what it is, but we're just doing body weight squats when we're doing them the ways examples that we gave.
So you mentioned we do get a lot of feedback and a lot of emails and a lot of comments on YouTube and via social media about how people struggle with squats or they just feel like they can't outright squat.
Right.
What's your experience in working with the numerous clients you've had over the years? Young and old, obviously. What were their thoughts on squats? And did you ever, you know, kind of say, okay, we're going to try a squat today, even though you can't do them or you don't feel like you can do them? I mean, you know, like in person, what are your experiences with that?
Yeah. So if anyone does our workouts, they'll notice we have the beginner, intermediate, advanced levels. And I try to only keep the squats to the advanced level because so many people have spoken up and said that they dislike squats. And that was not because I think squats are a bad thing. It's because I know that the other exercises we can do, which we'll probably get into, are beneficial as well. And then I won't have to try and tell people what they need to modify throughout mm-hmm. the workouts. It will keep everyone satisfied, so to speak. But many times when I would do classes in person, I would add squats, and making sure that everyone knew. It's different when I'm teaching a class for a video versus in person, because I can monitor in person. At home, you're doing it on your own, and I have to hope that everyone is taking all of the safety precautions and their bodies and their strength, et cetera, into account mm-hmm. all the time. Because you squat too far down, it is hard to press back up if you don't have the mobility in the ankles, the hips, strength in the quads, the glutes, the hamstrings, the core. it is hard to press back up. So when I would do them live and show them in a class, I would just show a mini squat, as I call them. And I've done them in workouts as well that we do for YouTube. But just doing a mini squat. So a small knee bend, basically, mm-hmm. just to get those muscles that I just mentioned fired up a little bit and strengthened. And then the more we can strengthen them, the deeper we can go with those movements, those squats. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's in person. I've added them. I've added lunges and things like that, which are very similar as far as the muscles that are used to squats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in person, again, I've seen people try and go way too low and then have a really hard time pressing back up. Movements that people don't do a lot, it is a learning curve. It's almost like the first day going into the gym and saying, what can I lift? And you go to pick up a 20-pound dumbbell because 20 pounds doesn't sound too heavy. And then you realize that, wow, okay, I need to go down to 5.
Right.
It's just that learning curve. Same with a squat or a lunge, something like that. So mm-hmm. Just knowing that we start light and we don't have to go super low or even, like I said, 90 degrees, like when we're sitting in a chair to stand up, that's pretty far down most of the time. So it's a pretty deep knee bend, as a lot of people call squats. So we don't have to go that deep when we're doing them in our workouts, as we're strengthening up those different muscles.
Right, right. Yeah, I think, you know, squats have such a bad reputation.
They do.
Not because they're bad for you, I mean, but just because people don't like to do them.
We don't like to do them, but if you have knees that hurt mm-hmm. at a constant basis and you feel like doing a squat makes them hurt, quote unquote, or they hurt worse because of it, then you try to avoid that movement. Mm-hmm. Squats are not an easy thing to do, even though, again, we do them every day, all day. But when you put them in the context of let's do 12 of them in
exercise,
a row,
yeah.
It's okay, that's a little bit more. And now let's hold a dumbbell while we do it, that type of thing. A lot of times, yes, they do hurt the knees. But that's because the muscles that are around the knees are so weak because we're not doing these movements and exercises that they've atrophied, and now we have to build them back up. Our knees hurt because the muscles around it are not strong enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to repeat that. So I like that you said, and I'll say it again, squats are not bad for you. They're not the enemy to the body. They're one of the better moves that we can do for the body. You just have to feel in control and do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't injure yourself.
Yeah. What areas of the body specifically are you engaging when you do, you know, squat exercises? What areas are you engaging mm-hmm. and where is the pinch points? Where are the pressure points?
Right. So you engage a lot when you do a squat. That's why they're such great movements. So not only your quadriceps, those big thigh muscles, your hamstrings, so the back of the leg, your gluteals, the bum muscles, your core engages. A lot of times, depending on your stance, depending on your hip mobility and tightness, a lot of times parts of your hips can strengthen your calf muscles. Flexion in our ankle joints, even in our muscles in our feet, can start to strengthen because of the way we're standing and semi-gripping. So almost the entire our back, our lower back, engages. I'm kind of going like a mental checklist. So again, core, so lower back, abdominals, hips, quadriceps, hamstrings, gluteals, calves, into our ankles and feet.
Yeah. I mean, is it considered a full functioning exercise for the most part, right?
And pressure points, of course, we're getting into that dorsiflexion of our ankle joints. So the way that our ankles move, we have tight ankles. It's very difficult to do a squat in good form. If we have tight hips, it's very difficult to do a squat in good form. Mm-hmm. If we feel like our knees hurt, then we can't do a squat in good form. But those are our biggest joints that we have to kind of work around, from hips to knees to ankles, in order to get the best and proper form. So again, if we're doing things and it hurts, we have to figure out why it's hurting, what we need to possibly stretch as well as strengthen in order to get the best from this movement that we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the squats, because of the feedback we get, people are more fearful of doing squats to any capacity, whether you're carrying weights or not.
Right.
And based on these, you know, ideas that you've maybe had past experiences with bad squats, I know with some people with squatting with weight, your back is a problem, be a problem, you know. Like, how does that play into also having this fear of squatting?
Right.
You know, taking your back out is a bad thing, obviously. All right.
Well, that's why if I ever would do them in a class, it was never with weight. I mean, even a get up and sit down from a chair, we start with body weight, preferably without you holding on to anything. I want you to focus on using lower body and core muscles, lower back, and with proper form. So keeping a nice straight spine, not leaning too far forward, not leaning too far back, of course, right? Because it's all about balance. If we're too far forward, we fall forward. Too far back, we fall back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we put a lot of the, I always say, dump the weight into our lower back. And we can do that by standing up as well. We can stand all day long and our lower back starts to hurt because we dump our weight there. But a lot of times when we do squats, we let our knees jut forward past our toes, and we almost tuck our bum under, and our back goes along with that. And then we go, why is my lower back hurting so much? Just by doing these body weight squats. Well, number one, form, that form most likely. And you're going too low. We have to start small with everything. If you're not doing squats, don't all of a sudden pick up 10-pound dumbbells and start to try and do 12 repetitions. It's just not going to feel good on your body because you don't know how it's going to respond.
Right.
So start with body weight and don't go very low. I think it's really good when some people can use mirrors to do workouts so they can see what their form looks like. A lot of times we can't tell what we're doing until we look at a mirror and go, whoa, I didn't realize I was, you know, that off. Mm-hmm. Or my back is curved. And you think your back is super straight. So going just a little bit down, knees stay in alignment with the ankles. We stick our bum back. I always said when we were doing them in person, pretend like you're going to sit down. So you pretend like your bum is going to touch a chair. Otherwise, I got a lot of those knees jutting forward. Like when we sit down, do we ever let our knees go forward and tuck our tailbone under? Basically, no.
Right,
that, right. We wouldn't sit very comfortably. We'd probably miss the seat if we did that. So pretend like you're sitting in a seat. Stick your bum out and bend at the knees. Bend slightly at the waist. You're not bowing, so your chest shouldn't go forward. But it goes a little bit forward because we have to have that counterbalance of our weight as our bums go back, our glutes go back. Our chest tends to go a slightly forward, so we stay balanced. And then we press back into our feet, ball of our foot to our heel, equal pressure, pressing into our quadriceps to stand up nice and tall. Mm-hmm. So not pressing from our knees. And if you've done any of the workouts with me, and we do our sit to stand, that's the biggest thing. We're focusing on our quadriceps. We feel those engage. We feel our glutes engage. We feel our core engage. That's everything that's going to work, of course, to protect our knee joints. Our knee joints are the joint that we visualize the most and gets the most movement in a squat exercise that we do.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people probably don't do squats form-wise correctly.
Right.
You know, I think what you say about sitting in a chair, visualize sitting in a chair, is a great way to put it, because everybody does that and everybody can relate to that movement.
Right.
But you put out videos on YouTube and our website called No Squats, No Hops, and No Floor.
Yeah.
Right. And these are very popular videos because a lot of people don't like squats.
Exactly.
What's your approach to creating these videos for people who, don't like squats?
Right.
Whether they can or cannot do them, but don't like squats.
Right.
What's your approach to these series of videos that you can, quote-unquote, find on our website, by the way?
Yeah.
What's your approach to those?
So really making sure we're still engaging those muscles that you would work doing a squat, but without someone feeling like there's a movement in there that I can't do, so I'm just going to stand here. So doing knee raises and hamstring curls and heel raises.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working our quadriceps in this order, quadriceps, and then the hamstring curl, our hamstrings. Heel raises, our calf muscles. So making sure we're still doing movements that you're going to work that would kind of mimic the muscles that you're working in a squat. That's how I approach it. Making sure that we're not leaving out those key muscle groups because they are so important, but you're still doing a workout with movements that you feel are attainable and doable for you, mm-hmm. and are keeping you safe.
Right.
Which is most important. I mean, I will say that I think squats are one of the best things you can do because we want to be able to get up out of chairs. You want to be able to stand up from a toilet or from your couch, mm-hmm. Out of the car. You want to keep your core muscles tight. All of these things that you're going to get from doing a squat, get up off the floor, having that lower body and core strength that you can get from doing a squat and the mobility in your hips and your ankles will help you get up off the floor. But if it's something that you just cannot do or you're prohibited from doing, there are other movements that can be done. And so that's where when we do the no squats, no hops, no floor workouts, I just want to make sure people know mm-hmm. they still need to work these muscle groups. They're very important,
right.
But we don't have to do a squat to get them
right.
worked.
It's a great alternative to folks who, just aren't comfortable with squatting.
Right.
And hopefully if you feel like you don't like squats that much, check out those videos. You can go to our website and go to our video section and they're there. Have you ever experienced working with clients and they've said, my doctor says I cannot do squats? You know what I mean?
Yes, I think I have actually. Mm-hmm. And that's where I don't think the doctor ever said, don't do a squat, unless they had some major knee mm-hmm. surgery, a major tear, and they were still rehabbing, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge liability when it comes to doctors and prescribing exercise. That's why they tell you to go to a physical therapist, because
mm-hmm.
they're the ones who are supposed to know about the body in that way. When it comes to the physical movement of it, when doctors are taking care of it. So if a doctor says, don't do this, it's because he doesn't want to have you come back and say, I hurt my knee because you told me to do squats.
Hmm.
I think that's the number one reason why doctors don't prescribe exercise. Because mm-hmm. if we get hurt, we run back to that person, the doctor, and say, you told me to. Yeah, they say go to the physical therapist, and then the physical therapist will then tell you what you should be doing and prescribe the exercises that are best for your injury, ailment, etc.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think when someone will say, the doctor said I shouldn't do them, they, he or she may have said that, but in all likelihood, they just probably said, do what's best for your body. If those don't feel good, don't do them. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. they have to cover their themselves.
Right. Right.
That's the way I look at it. When it comes to, I keep saying I wish doctors would prescribe exercise, but I know it would come to bite them, come back to bite them in the bums, because people would get upset that they got injured if they did the exercise programs, and the doctor would have even more, you know, malpractice insurance they'd have to pay for, and that's not right. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think it's just if doctors are, people hear that when they go to their medical consultant, it kind of just shuts it down for them. Okay, well, I'm never going to do
it. Then I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And that's easier, right? It's easy to say, my doctor said not to do it, so I can't do it.
Yeah.
I've heard that in for a lot of things. when I know the doctor did not say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because doctors want people to move. They want to keep them around as long as possible. They want to keep them healthy, even, for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think doctors say, do not do that.
Yeah.
They'll send you to a PT that might say, do not do that. But most of the times, PTs will rehab you to the point where you can do it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, let's get to the question, to squat mm-hmm. or not to squat. You know, how would you know that you are ready to incorporate squats into regular exercise, you know, weights or no weights, regardless, the movement itself, how would you know that you're ready to try that? And how would you also know that you shouldn't be trying that?
Mm-hmm.
So squatting or not to squat?
I would say if you get up out of a chair quite easily and no issues, no pain in the knees, no nothing. You don't have to press on to the arms of the chair. You're not using a walker that you're basically pulling the walker over when you do it, which is not the way to get up out of a chair if you have a walker. You always hold on to the sides of the chair and then transition your hands onto the walker. That's a whole nother podcast. but I see it all the time. So you're not pulling, at something to get up. You don't need assistance. You're able to get up out of that chair, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say that you should try to start with body weight squats, going down minimally, again, not 90 degrees. So going down slightly and see how that feels, doing a few repetitions of that.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder that quadriceps, gluteals, especially quadriceps, are really big muscle groups. And a lot of times people will do squats and you do 10 in a row and your heart rate goes up. It's also a cardiovascular movement that you're doing. So don't think that you're doing it wrong because your heart rate goes up. Big muscles working make your blood pump more, make your heart rate go up. That's a good thing because you're also getting now cardiovascular work in as well as muscle endurance. So
right.
But I'd say that would probably be where I'd say you are good to start trying to put some squats into your workouts. If you're doing my workouts at the beginner intermediate level and you're not feeling like you're getting as much from the knee raises, whether it's seated or standing, maybe try some squats during the knee raise part. See how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely work you in different ways because different muscles are all working at the same time versus a knee raise versus a hamstring curl versus a heel raise, right? We have to do three different ones just to get to, three body parts that are worked during one exercise. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best way to put it. And then slowly, as you progress and you feel comfortable, add a dumbbell here, one in each hand, and go from there.
So ease into it.
Slowly. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's a great idea. Just like any other type of exercise that you may not do on a regular basis, easing into it is always the best way.
Always the best, yes.
and so more importantly, or maybe not more importantly, but when should you not squat? when it is obvious. You shouldn't be doing squats. You should be doing ulterior exercises to strengthen those muscles.
Right. Of course, if you do majority of your exercises seated, I would say the press into the floor and possibly a hip raise. But if you sit to stand is not even doable for you, then we're not going to add squats just yet. We're going to continue with working our muscles in different ways, seated. Mm-hmm. If you're able to stand, but you possibly have been told that you cannot do them by a physical therapist because you've had a recent injury, meniscus tear, knee replacement, and we're still working on rebuilding areas around that knee joint before we do a full-on body squat, I'd say let's stay away from those. Mm-hmm. Or if you have to hold on to something so tightly, a chair with one hand or both, that you're going to basically pull that over when you try to go back to standing, we need to focus on strengthening those muscles in different ways before we go to that. Again, that is just to make sure we stay safe when we're doing our movements always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always a time to be cautious about your physical well-being if you fall into those categories, like you mentioned,
right,
about squatting. You don't want to further hurt yourself.
Exactly.
Especially if you are dealing with an injury. I mean, if you've torn, your MCL, that kind of thing, squatting's
there's
definitely
a lot
not a
of
good
things
idea.
That, yeah, that could prohibit you for a while you build back up again. Until. And then you might be able to do them. So it's not an end-all a lot of times. We just have to make sure we're building up correctly before we get back into it.
Would you say, in your opinion, that most people that you've talked to or have come to you and said, I can't do squats, so I don't do them, can most likely do some kind of squatting?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yes. It's just a matter of doing them with correct form and not going as low as they visualize. Because if we see a picture, we see someone going super deep, and you don't have to go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even say it's the best thing for you to go super, super deep if you have had any issues with your knees ever. But yeah, I think most people probably can. It's just it's a movement that is kind of scary because it does incorporate so much. And if we do them incorrectly, it could hurt the knees. And we all, my knees hurt all the time, right? I just think for my body, it's part of my body getting older. That's just one of the things. Not everybody has that. They have different parts. So I think, yeah, we get a little bit more cautious with movements because we are afraid that if we do something, it will make it worse. And that's, we don't want that ever, right? So, yeah, most people can probably do them. It's just a weird, cautious, maybe too far across that line, even though I'm the number one about trying to keep people safe. So
right. And as always, go see your physical therapist. Get that, get the opinion of someone who knows your body, knows your history, to really find out where you are. But whether you do squats or not, do something to work that lower body. And like we mentioned on our website, you can check out our No Squats, No Hops, No Floor workout videos. Those are very popular. And it really just comes down to you do what you can and make sure that you do everything lower body, upper body. Just try to get it all in, whether you do squats or not.
Right.
If you can do squats, great. Turn them out. It's great. But if you don't feel comfortable, hey, that's okay too.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. So just do something. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode. We hope this was very helpful to you. We loved talking about squats. And, if you or someone you know is really on the fence about what they should be doing, if they should be incorporating it into their exercises, we hope this helps you. So thanks for joining us. Don't forget to swing by our website, seniorfitnesspodcastwithmeredith.com. I'm sorry, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com, and check out our newsletter there. Sign up for our newsletter and get all of our latest and greatest updates each week. And until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Lori LeBay, and I wanted to tell you about Alzheimer's Speaks, which is another great podcast. You see, my own mother lived with dementia for 30 years, and I felt lost. Did you know every 3 seconds someone in the world is being diagnosed with dementia? Odds are it's going to hit your families too. We want to help you connect to services, products, tools, research, and stories so you can be prepared. Please subscribe to Alzheimer's Speaks on your favorite podcast platform.